and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. We have been gone for way too long. We are oh so happy to all three be back together on this set.
Good to see you again. Thank you for holding it down the end of last week without us.
No problem. No problem. Let's do it.
Big void in your life without us.
Oh, absolutely. Here. Without you, Jenna, come on. Come on.
My parents say all the time. So when the news of Andrew Luck's retirement first broke, the team was actually in the middle of playing a preseason game. News spreading throughout the stadium in real time. Fans, upon hearing about their quarterback's decision, reacted in the moment. Some of it wasn't pretty.
All that you've meant to the team and the city and the stunningness of the decision. Any reaction to the fans? Did you hear the reaction walk off the field?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't say I heard the reaction. Yeah, it hurt. I'll be honest, chap. It hurt.
Nick, what did you make of the fans booing Luck?
I'll be honest, almost nothing. I felt for him. He didn't deserve that moment. But I also think this is, for some people, some media, one of their favorite hobby horses, wagging their finger at the naughty fans, even though it is not emblematic of an entire fan base. It is an emotional reaction amongst people. Keep in mind who's there at that point in time. This is a preseason game at the end of the preseason game. These are your diehards of diehards who have just, in the moment, had their hearts ripped out. Some of them, maybe most of them, season ticket holders who have now realized for the second time in the last 3 years, I have paid for season tickets thinking I'm going to get to see Andrew Luck. I'm now not going to get to see Andrew Luck. And they haven't seen his press conference yet. They haven't seen how emotionally distraught he is. And so they reacted poorly. Not a handful, but the people who were there who did that. To me, that's not that different than the fans in Toronto that cheered when KD got hurt. It was an ugly moment in a snapshot in time that most of those people would not do again upon time for reflection. I don't think this is an indictment on the city of Indianapolis, the fan base. Bob Kravitz said it, who's a great writer up in Indy, and I think he's right. If tomorrow they said Andrew Luck's going to hold a parade or hold an event, he would have tens of thousands of adoring fans show up to thank him for what he accomplished there in this brief seven-year window. So I don't read too much into it. I think it was some diehard fans saying, you got it. He's retiring? It can't be the most shocking retirement ever and not have some immediate emotional reaction. So that was how I reacted to what the fans did.
For me, I've been around sports my whole life. And most of it has been, you know, participating on the field. But I love sports. I love all sports. I traveled around the world seeing golf, tennis. I traveled around the country watching Michael Jordan, and I've always been a season ticket holder at the NBA 20 years. So I'm a fan myself. But as an athlete, and I learned early in my career, when I left Middletown, Ohio, and went to Ohio State, and that first game there was 100,000, the coaches let us know, man, these people have been watching football a long time. They're not here to be cheering for you if you don't do nothing. And just learning with that Ohio State franchise, they say, oh, it's the Ohio State. Let me tell you what the fans will do to you if you don't play well. They'll either sit on their hands and 110,000 of them being silent, or when we traveled around the country and you go to Wisconsin, which we did, we were number one in the country, I think, at the time, lost there, they will boo you. We lost at Purdue against Rob Woodson. They will boo you, and they will boo you at home. So my relationship with the fans is I never been thinking that, oh, man, we had this old give and take. No. You know what we had? As long as I can do what I'm on that field to do, the fans that were cheering for the team, the colors I'm on, they're going to cheer for me. But I remember one time I was with Randall Cunningham warming up in the vet before the game, and we're playing catch on the side. We're getting ready, and I'm zoned in. And the guy in all green, painted and everything, is cussing Randall out. You're this. And I'm like, this is my rookie year, man. I come from Ohio State. They don't treat you like that. I mean, so for me, it was eye-opening, but I understood my ability to catch this football is going to keep them people standing up. When I go on the road, people are going to boo me, and it might be my own fans because as a professional, we're being paid a lot of money. This is not college anymore. This is professional sports, and this is what the fans do. It's always been my expectation. And now as a fan, when I'm in that arena, I've tried to conduct myself as if I appreciate people for their ability. I know they're unique and I know they're special.
And listen, the fandom is not unconditional love, and it never has been. It has always been. We sometimes glorify it and try to make it into more than it is. It is a symbiotic relationship at its best, but not always.
Not always.
Right. I mean, the fans are getting either escapism or great moments or memories with their family.
Entertainment. For the most part.
And the players are getting compensated. To Chris's point, you're now professionals. This is, if all of a sudden, if someone went to a Broadway show and they went to go see Lin-Manuel Miranda when he was still doing Hamilton, and they come out right beforehand and they said, Lin-Manuel Miranda has quit. He's not going to be out here tonight, and you're going to see someone else. People in the moment might boo. Now, maybe afterwards they'd find out a good reason, they'd feel badly, whatever it was.
Or they would enjoy the show with the replacement.
Absolutely. And so I think this is the type of story that gets talked about more than it should, because it is so easy. Everyone can be Captain Easy Stance. How dare you, fans? You know what I mean? You shouldn't have done that. Shame on you.
Right.
And no one is gonna be like, you know what?
No,
they should have booed.
No, we should cover it though.
Oh, I agree.
We should cover it, because we should think that fans, given all the stuff we've seen, at some point would get a little smarter. Now, if Andrew Luck flips them the bird, we're going to cover it.
100%.
So we should be covering it when they treat someone that they supposedly loved, all right, well, instantly. His career is taken, or his body has failed him. Man, I got a great call from someone at the NFL, and it's someone who's played the league a long time, and it talked about, man, our body's going to fail us at a certain time. Andrew Luck just didn't know. Like, we don't know when. His just happened to be recently.
Well, and it also speaks to, I think, why players, especially more modern players, are recognizing that it's business for me, it's personal for you, or that vice versa, meaning the idea of taking a hometown discount or the idea of showing extra loyalty to a franchise.
Listen, you better get your money, man.
Right, because they will, whether it's the management or the fans, very quickly, as soon as you stop producing, not all, but some will say, okay, well, you no longer provide me that joy you were providing me, and in fact, you're taking it away from me, therefore, I don't like you anymore. Not a lot of it is, I love you as a person, it's I love you as a performer.
And I've never left the stadium and been like, you know something, I heard the fans saying great stuff. You know, that's stuff I'm gonna teach to my kids. People go to stadiums and act a complete fool. Professional people get totally out of character, and they feel like going to a sporting event, I can say anything. Well, you got caught booing, all right? Somebody you supposedly love. I know you're in the Midwest. The best people come from the Midwest. Yeah, there's idiots in the Midwest, too.
All right, we'll leave it there. Take a break. Coming up, more fallout from Andrew Luck's retirement next on First Things First. All's right with the world. We are all back. Coach is here.
What's up,
things are falling into place. Eric Mangini, thanks for being with us this morning.
Coach, good to see you, man. Great look there. Tie, pocket square.
Thanks. I've been working on it.
Been working on the look.
Yeah.
Coach, let's get into the biggest story over the weekend. Andrew Luck. Luck retired from the NFL Saturday night. I hope you heard. Otherwise, this is going to be an awkward segment. He walks away from the game at 29 years old after 7 seasons in the league and arguably is one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever play the position. Take a listen to what Luck said led to his decision.
I feel quite exhausted and quite tired. I do know once I hit the sort of point where I felt like I knew what I needed to do for myself and talked to Nicole and some, you know, my folks and some close friends and family, that, and then had some, you know, some very difficult conversations with Mr. Irsay, Frank and Chris, but it did feel like, in a sense, a weight was lifted then, but it's it's been tiring. I feel tired, and not just in the physical sense.
Were you surprised, Coach, by the decision? Shocked, even?
Definitely. I was out to dinner, and a friend of mine got the news, and I didn't believe what he was saying when he initially said it. But you hear in Andrew's voice how tired he is and how long a process this has been. And when you even look at this most recent injury, it starts in March, and then he's going to be ready for OTAs, and then he's going to be ready for training camp, and they don't really know what it is. It's the ankle, it's the calf, it's all these things. I'm sure after the experience that he had the last time,
the shoulder going
through this again, and the idea of trying to get through the 16-game regular season where he's being put together just to get to Sunday, I'm sure for him was just too much to look at. And there are a lot of thoughtful guys in the league, and things have changed, I think, especially in the last 5 years with CTE and the things we're learning, where guys are making different decisions. And Andrew Luck has a lot of options in his life, and I'm sure he's looking at it as, I want to be able to play with my kids. I want to be able to live a full life physically and not go through pain day in and day out. And he made it a really hard decision.
Yeah, a number of things have changed. The concussion lawsuits, the number one thing that changed athletes, especially the ones in the NFL, and their perspective moving forward. And the other thing has been the economics. Because the economics are so strong and guys can make so much money, then you don't have to say, do I stay out here and I don't have to? So those two things have changed the psyche of NFL players. But to me, everyone does not have a body nor a brain for the NFL. Now, I love football. I love the physical contact. When I was 7 years old, me and my cousin tried to doctor up my birth certificate and took it to the Parks and Recreation to try to get me to play, and the league was 8. You had to be 8 years old. And the lady told me, get my parents and either come back. And I said, oh, okay, I'll be back. I was back 365 days later to finally be able to play. And in the NFL, I played in 3 different decades. I had the body and the mentality for it. Ultimately, there were times along the way I wanted to quit. One time that brings to my memory, the most significant was Buddy Ryan. I had been starting there 2 years. And then Buddy Ryan had me in the doghouse, and I pulled my hamstring in training camp. And in training camp, I couldn't practice with the team, so they had me off on the side, practice, had me running hills. They had me pushing one of the golf carts up the hill with a fat trainer on it. Like, they were trying to make me quit, and I was getting ready to quit. And I had stopped using at the time for over 4 months, and the organization didn't believe in me. I wanted to quit. But my pride and just, I couldn't just give up. But I could understand why guys do it. I seen guys in training camp all the time, down at meal check. They don't check that to make sure everyone ate. They make sure that everyone come down and want to play football. So Andrew Luck, I could understand and respect what his body has been through. And I expect this generation of football players to be smarter than my predecessors, to be smarter than us, because they have better options and they have more information. I'm at the Hall of Fame. I see guys walking around. I've seen guys who have lost their ability to cognitive skills and everything at young ages. So, man, I got nothing but respect for someone that's played that game and take the beating that he took. Because the one thing that was criminal was that offensive line they put in front of Andrew Luck. That's what forced us to this press conference this weekend, what happened to him several years ago, Nick.
Yeah, and the most hits taken per game by any quarterback by far from 2012 to 17, which leads you up until that's the year he missed, was Andrew Luck. And the other guys are either out of the league or they are middling performers in the league. We know that it wasn't, yes, we know of the shoulder, we now know of the calf, but it was also a lacerated kidney. It was cracked ribs. It was one concussion early in his career. So he had, when we didn't know it, when guys like me were criticizing him for not fulfilling the potential, he was playing injured. He was playing hurt. And I know some of that was his, wanting to make the big play and always trying to extend the plays, things we've talked about. So some of it he did to himself, but a lot of it Ryan Grigson did to him. A lot of it, bad team building, trading a first-round pick for Trent Richardson, not drafting offensive linemen, picking the wrong guys. Like, those things can. We saw, I don't know what David Carr's career would have been. I know what it was. If I'm a Houston Texans fan today, I'm waving this in front of Bill O'Brien and the organization saying, don't let Deshaun Watson have this happen to him.
Yeah, he had to catch a bus to a game last
right,
year.
Absolutely.
With a punctured lung.
Right, he couldn't fly. And I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, it was that absurd. What is so, though, shocking is it wasn't that Andrew, to me, not what I was hearing from him, it wasn't that he was yet worried, and maybe you should never get to the point where you're worried, about his cognitive abilities moving forward. It wasn't, will I be able to walk with my kids? It was the process of rehabilitation of a calf injury where he said, I've essentially been on this treadmill for 4 years, and I thought it was ending. I thought last year when I played healthy and played great, finally I'm going to get to a place where it's not pain, injury, rehab. It's playing football, practicing football. And now this damn calf injury's lingered for 5 months. And I just, he said, I'm choosing me. And I find it so fascinating that for a player who has been as dedicated, as available as far as wanting to be available throughout his career, as Andrew Luck, at that position, that what choosing him means is stopping the thing that has made him who he is. And we've never seen it. We've seen guys walk away when they had already accomplished what they were said they were going to. Luck is doing it before ever scratching the surface of what we all thought he would do and what he showed he had the ability to do.
Well, look, it's a long life, and he's 29 years old, and even though it may have not have been cognitive at this point, being on that treadmill of being injured and rehabbing, that's probably not going to change. That's the reality of football, is that there are going to be a lot of injuries that you're going to have to deal with and pain that you're going to have to work through and long-term effects as you get older. And we all know as we get older, things creak a little bit more. They don't, you know, it gets harder, and those things pile up. I remember in San Francisco when Chris Borland retired, and a little different level of player, but here was a young, really successful, emerging defensive player who said, okay, I've looked at this, and I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to take this risk anymore. And this was probably going to be more common than not. And we aren't going to be as shocked in the future when this happens, because to Chris's point, the money's different. So there is a level of security that comes with some of these contracts.
Yes.
To where now you can take a step back and say, okay, how many Rolexes do I need? How many giant houses do I need? How many of those things do I need? And say, I'm going to choose to take a healthier approach to this.
How much changes now with the direction that this team moves in? Because Nick played out the timeline. August 1st, he tells Jim Irsay, right?
No, told Peter King August 4th, I'm going to be there week one. And August 19th, he tells the owner I'm retired.
So it's not a ton of time for the organization to get Jacoby Brissett up and running, but how much changes if you're the head coach of a team where you had one plan, where your team is in conversation for Super Bowl talk, and now you're in a completely different direction? How much has to get changed and how quickly?
Well, this is a unique situation because he hasn't played. So it's been Jacoby Brissett's team, and there is the value of Jacoby having a whole season as a starter. So through OTAs, through training camp, it's been Brissett's, the operation's been all with Brissett. So you've got that body of work that you can build on in terms of approach and how dramatically you're going to have to change the system. It's pretty dramatic because you've got to make things work for Jacoby. You've got to give Jacoby everything that he needs to be successful. And there's a big part of that playbook that was
Andrew Luck.
The majority of it is what does Andrew like? Mm-hmm. Now that has to go away, and it's what does Jacoby like? And a point that you made earlier just about the young part of Andrew Luck's career, I think this is always the debate that we have about whether you should play a rookie or not play a rookie, because they don't know how to protect themselves all the time. So even a guy like Kyler Murray behind an offensive line that's, you know, struggling. He's young, and he's going to take chances because he's young that's going to lead to certain hits. And this may be a topic for a later time, but it's that maturing process for those young quarterbacks that's part of this whole discussion and why we got here as well.
They haven't been able to do a full offseason study. This offseason, you know what they studied? How well an offensive line was. How can I add a running? How can we help that defense? Now they don't have that opportunity because their new quarterback, they have a lot of confidence in him, but they didn't get a chance to be able to break down everything because he didn't play much last year. So now how do they go back to 17, find the things that work for them? So for me, there's going to be an extended training camp, 4 to 6 weeks, finding out what Jacoby likes, what he wants to do best, how to get the team around that as far as the offensive line and running attack before they move forward. I still believe that they are a playoff team because this is a talented roster. If that defensive front can come up and be more consistent with their linebackers and their secondary that I believe is underrated and will be better this season, yeah, this is the legitimate playoff team.
I'm sure Andrew Luck is waking up this morning going, wait, what happened this weekend? I did what? He's got to live with it now. Coach, stick around. Coming up, are the Steelers better set up for success without Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell? We'll talk some Steelers next on First Things First.
And if people are asking, Coach's answer on how many Rolexes he needs is one. It's right there on his wrist.
That's the one you see.
We're back here with Coach Mangini. We're going viral. Jacoby Brissett is now the Colts starting quarterback, and with that news, some of his tweets from July started to receive some attention. Check these out. If you drink water out of a cup, do you still have to wash the cup? Asking for a friend.
Yeah, because you put your mouth on it.
If Next. The sun is hot, how is outer space cold?
Close to the sun's not cold. It's very, very hot. You'd die.
At which point does it change from going up the street to down the street?
If you're going north, you're going up. If you're going down, you're going south. These are simple questions.
Why do we use toothbrushes more than once if they dirty after first use?
Well, you rinse the toothbrush off.
Why is it that I have to sit every day next to someone who seemingly has the answer to every question ever asked?
I mean, he's asking these questions.
Well, he just has something to say that every time somebody says something to him. do you know the difference?
Nick?
Yeah. No, do you know the difference in that?
Between what Nick is doing and what
Jacoby
Brissett
is doing?
Yeah,
like when you ask me something, I have something to say.
Uh-huh. Real information.
Nick's just talking.
difference of philosophy there. I think I answered all those paradoxes.
It's like my 13-year-old. Every time I say something, he's got something to say back, whether it's right or wrong.
Of course.
I'm just trying to help the new starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts so he doesn't have these questions on his mind. He can focus on week one at the Chargers instead of wondering how cold outer space is.
They all seem pretty reasonable answers.
Okay, is the hokey pokey really what it's all about?
That's stupid.
See? He doesn't want to answer my questions. He'll answer Jacoby's. Hey guys, Jenna Wolf here. September is National Life Insurance Awareness Month. Most people aren't aware of that. In fact, most people aren't aware they need life insurance at all. That's why 40% of Americans don't have it. But getting life insurance doesn't need to be difficult or expensive. Right now, prices are the lowest they've been in 20 years. And Policy Genius has made it easier than ever to get covered. Policy Genius is the easy way to shop for life insurance online. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. If you need life insurance, but you just haven't gotten around to it, National Life Insurance Awareness Month is as good a time as any to get started. Go to policygenius.com to get quotes and apply in minutes. You can do the whole thing on your phone right now. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. Last night, Big Ben, no one needs it, Dusty. Nobody needs it at all. So just stay back there and do your thing. Big Ben made his preseason debut, and he looked sharp in the process. 8 passes, 63 yards, including a touchdown pass to Juju Smith-Schuster. James Conner also added 41 yards on the ground with 5 rushes. Granted, James and Juju are not A.B. and Lev Bell. Still productive, though. Coach, what did you see from the Steelers in Big Ben's preseason debut?
I felt like the Steelers look good, and I think the Steelers, I'm cheering for the Steelers, and I don't often say that, but I do like what they've done this offseason. I like the idea of them trying to move to an environment that's so much less based on conflict and dealing with all
disorder.
Kinds of distractions. I like the move that they're making there. I think that, you know, this is a team that's gone through tremendous adversity this training camp with losing their wide receivers coach, and I'm hopeful that this experiment works. And I think that with Ben Roethlisberger, all of those wide receivers have a chance to become special. And you've got guys like Dante Moncrief, who could make a jump. You've got Dante Johnson. It's James Washington has had a really nice preseason. I think he's got 10 or 11 catches. So they're hoping that's going to continue to improve. So they're going to be in the mix, and you saw some really positive things defensively as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, especially early. But I think that this is going to be a team that has a chance to go a long way.
I'm glad you mentioned James Washington. Big Ben did an interview before the game, well, it aired before the game last night, where he talked about his relationship with Antonio Brown. And he mentioned, in that same time I criticized AB, I criticized James Washington, and he called me to thank me for it. And James, you know, said it made him better. And we have now seen, whether that's true or not, we have seen the James Washington in the preseason the Steelers hoped they were getting last year. Because we've talked about how many receivers the Steelers have developed, whether they were high draft picks or not, from Hines Ward to Emmanuel Sanders to Mike Wallace to Santonio Holmes to Antonio Brown. A lot of those guys overlapped, meaning it's not often for Big Ben. He's only had one excellent target to look at. And even AB, the last year, he had Juju alongside him. Can James Washington be that secondary option? Because Juju, to me, is a clear, and he could be a great receiver, but he's still a clear downgrade from Antonio Brown. This Steelers team is going to be an excellent test case on, is it more with less if the less is easier, if the less is less noisy, even if it's less talented? And I know, I think that's one of the reasons you're saying you're rooting for them, because you like the sum is greater than the individual parts. You like that philosophy, that more so than give me as much talent as possible, we'll figure it out. And the Steelers, whether they meant to or not, the last few years had been, we'll figure it out. We've got a star running back, a star wide receiver, star quarterback. Now they just have the star quarterback and a potential star wide receiver who, at least the time being, seems to be far less maintenance than the previous wide receiver they had. But I do think they're going to need one of those secondary receiving threats to step up. I think James Washington's the most likely of them and the one that they might be leaning on the most.
Number one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know they went through the tragic death, sudden death of Coach Drake, their wide receiver coach. Now, with all these young wide receivers, that's something I want to watch. Last year, you and I talked about it. Vikings lost. Coach Pirano, before the season started, they never recovered, and that was their weakest unit. A lot of pressure on the Pittsburgh wide receivers. They're very fortunate. Mike Tomlin goes out and hires Ray Sherman. Ray Sherman used to coach me in Minnesota. He was coordinator there. He was quarterback coach there. He's coached wide receivers. He coached Jerry Rice. He coached T.O., coached Randy Moss, coached myself, and a bunch of others. So they're very, very fortunate to bring him up. As far as the wide receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster's got to show that he can play outside the numbers. They have too many slot receivers, so Juju's got to go outside. Last year in the slot, there's only three receivers that played more slot than him. So as you can see from the tape in the preseason, we're going to try to run the ball. They look very good running the ball. They got a good offensive line. But if you blitz Ben Roethlisberger, you have a six-man rush, seven-man rush, he's going to carve you apart. They move Juju outside. They run a little stack route in the middle. Ben Roethlisberger eyeballs the safety and fires a strike in the back of the end zone. That's why Ben is one of the best. I'm excited to see the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do know this. It's not I'm guessing. In pro sports, it's about units. It's about team. And you can be better as a team with less talent. It's hard to win championships with no talent. But in team sports, yes, the Pittsburgh Steelers is possible without AB being there. Can they be better? Absolutely, and I think we're going to see it.
How big of a drop-off is it, though, without Lev Bell and AB there? How big of a drop-off is it if James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster are your main targets, main guys going in?
Well, I don't think the Le'Veon Bell factor is a factor at all. They went through the whole season last year without having him, so they're used to that. And then with Antonio Brown.
But you're confident in James Conner as a number one. He could be their featured back.
I am, and I'm confident in their backfield in general, because you're going to get, because of Ben Roethlisberger and because of how effective he is, you're going to get more seven-man boxes. And that's going to provide opportunities for running backs that other quarterbacks can't create based off of who they are. Now, to Chris's point earlier, talking about the running game, if they run the ball more and now force teams into eight-man boxes, that's going to help the passing game. And that's always been Pittsburgh's brand. Be interesting to see whether they go back to that brand.
Coach is right. Last time they were a top 10 running team, 2010, that was their last Super Bowl appearance. So a lot of that will be tied to the running game. But if you look at Connors and Jalen Samuels, their overall productivity in 2019 was as good and better than L. Bell was in 2017. Touchdowns, yards, everything. It stacked up. So they've replaced the running part. How do you replace 1,500 yards,
right,
double-digit touchdowns? That's hard to do.
And with Jalen, Jalen and Connor are both averaging over 6 yards a carry in the preseason. Now, granted, it's the preseason, but that's a positive thing. But the receiving core, they're going to have a chance to absorb those receptions. And ideally, by everybody being on the same page, by having some continuity, this offense should work more effectively. There's nothing more disruptive than being on the sideline and having your star receiver come in and say, hey, I'm open, throw me the ball, I'm open. You look at the cards, and the guy's double-teamed. It's like, you're not open.
Yeah.
And then the guy says, well, I can get open. That's like, all right, that's great. Can we move on and look at what's really happening as opposed to what's happening in your mind?
And you still like the Steelers to win the division this year?
Yeah, I'm a big Steelers fan.
Or you're not as big of a Browns fan? Which one?
Ravens,
how would you say
there.
It?
Ravens still.
The Ravens could push.
We'll see you a little bit later, Coach. Coming up, what did Andrew Luck Pierce think of his decision to retire? And that's next on First Things First. Boxing action is coming your way on Fox. The American Dream. Arislandi Lara going toe-to-toe with Ramon Alvarez for the super welterweight title. Catch it all Saturday, 8 Eastern. 5 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Man, the American Dream is Ric Flair.
Oh.
Stop stealing.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Nature boy.
We will get to Andrew Luck in a second, but first, Niners Chiefs.
I did one of those cameos, do one of Ric Flair. Oh, $100, we get that in.
Oh, there you go.
Jimmy
nice.
Garoppolo finding Matt Breida in the back of the end zone. Nice grab by the running back.
All right, Jimmy G, nice bounce back game for him after a little 0.0.
That's his first completion since
rating.
Going out with the triple X model thing.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it is.
First completion, then also since he shattered his knee in that stadium.
Oh, same difference.
Saints and Jets and Drew Brees connecting with Michael Thomas, who makes an absurd leaping grab for
Let's
a touchdown.
Let's get it, Mike. $20 million back outside playing the Saints. Remember last year, week 12 through the playoffs, they struggled because Mike Thomas was playing inside in the slot. Let's move him back outside and get that $20 million.
Cowboys and Texans, Dak Prescott escaping the pressure to hit Michael Gallup for the touchdown.
This is what you get, see? You get shamed our staff on the awesome Greg Olsen catch. Now we get a Dak Prescott very just pedestrian play. Oh, he escapes the rush. This is your fault, Chris Carter.
What do you mean? Dak right there, man, he avoided that sack. That could have ended his career, man. Oh. These quarterbacks are brittle now.
Oh.
What are you talking Jeez about? That could have been the shot to Cindy, man. It's a retirement.
Back
great highlight.
To Andrew Luck. His sudden retirement had a lot of people on the internet talking, some defending his decision, some criticizing. There was one player who had his back. Here's what Panthers wideout Torrey Smith had to say about the matter on Twitter. Any athlete in any sport that has had a major injury understands exactly where Andrew Luck is mentally. I'm still amazed that you can be criticized for doing what is best for you. See, how tough a decision was this for Andrew Luck?
It had to be gut-wrenching because we know on the surface as far as where he is right now, but almost every person that's a high achiever, if you talk to them about their childhood, if you talked about them when they were growing their teen years, what did you want to be? And Andrew Luck, man, as bright as he is, man, I'm sure besides saying a football player, his dad was a football player. Football is the family business, or athletics, with his dad being a former athletic director. I know Andrew Luck didn't see himself not playing NFL at 29. So to me, it's so, what does he do today?
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I know what I'm going to do the next 10 years, unless you guys get on my nerves. Okay? But what does he do? Because I know his life does not match up with his dreams and aspirations and moving forward. I know this. I know there's guys that I've seen, the athletes, and they didn't live up to their potential and the torment that they have. But this guy's career cut short, living up to, year number one, outstanding, getting the playoff. Year number two, we win a playoff game. Year number three, we're going to win two games. We in the AFC Championship. We getting ready to stare down Brady and the Pats for the next 10 years. Let's never been as successful, even though he bounced back last year. So I can't imagine personally what he's going through on a day-to-day. But it goes to show, no matter what type of sports you play, that's not who you are. That's what you do. And when he woke up this morning, that's his harsh reality. I'm not a football player anymore. And what does he do to be able to move on? I would hate to think, because for me, all my dreams have been about being a higher achiever, highest achiever at the highest level. And that's what the NFL is.
I want to talk about some of the criticism he's received. Because is it unfair? Sure, of course it's unfair. Everyone's allowed to do. You only live one life. And you should do what makes you happy as long as it doesn't negatively affect other people. And So of course the criticism is unfair. But we cannot simultaneously glorify athletes the way we do, using a lot of military analogies we probably shouldn't. Warrior, going into battle, fighting through injury. Those are all things that they're not neutral comments. They are celebratory comments. Talk about the toughness. And especially in this sport, where we give guys so much credit for playing through pain. And then expect immediately when someone says, you know what, the calf injury, it's too much. I'm done. And not expect there to be some, wait, what are you doing? Even if it's unfair. Even if that shouldn't be the reaction, part of what we have culturally in this country done with athletes, particularly pro football players, is put them on the gladiator-esque pedestal. And so when you see one of the faces of the league walk away from the game, not because he was, to our eyes, knocked out of the game, not because he was multiple times concussed, not because, and by the way, of course it's better for him to walk away now than if that were going to happen. There's going to be some, wait, what? So I understand why that was for some people's immediate reaction, even if upon reflection, we should all wish the best for Andrew Luck. But it can't be the most shocking retirement we've had in 20 years and also universally praised by everyone the moment it happens.
But the truth of the matter is he didn't get much criticism. I think people were shocked. I mean, he didn't get much criticism. There's a few people out there, which there always will be, none that are important. So for me, Andrew Luck's decision, to me, it was one of the more positive things with the shocking news. I was around when Calvin Johnson retired. Man, that you know, people don't even know Calvin. They like Calvin. And he got criticized. And everyone else who's ever, and Robert Smith, my teammate, he walked away from after having 1,500 yards. After the 2000 season and walked away from the game, and he was negotiating a long-term contract with the team. So the respect for athletes, it will always be there. And there's only a few things you can compare it to. But this is what I ask people, because pro football is not like any other sport. If you want to get a feel of what it's like, and you won't be able to do this because the NFL has banned most of it, not unless you're a former player, go to an NFL game and somehow stay on the sideline for 3 hours and 10 minutes. And you tell me after being on that sideline 3 hours and 10 minutes, I want you right next to the chalk. I want the guys falling at your feet. I want you to see what people go through. And quarterback, man, you couldn't pay me enough money to sit in the pocket and have guys tee off on me. Absolutely not. And I feel like I got a hell of a lot of courage. But that position and the way you can be brutalized, it's changed in the last few years. That's why the ultimate respect I have for the quarterbacks who played in the 60s, 70s, and the 80s, they the toughest dudes we got playing football. You remember some of the toughest guys we ever seen playing football because the rules change and you could brutalize them. These guys, it's easy for them, and the game is still not easy.
And one other point about how Andrew Luck did this. We all know he left potential future contracts on the table. But Peter King reported this morning, the Colts approached him about, hey, what if we put you on the short-term IR, give you 2 months to see if this recovers, and then you can make the decision. If he could have been retired in his mind and said, okay, I'm going to do that, and collected $22 million this year. He decided to do it in a way that not only obviously ends future earnings, but cuts off earnings that he could have had this season, and I don't think no one would have ever known that right. He had made the decision already. He did this the most professional way he possibly could have, and he now, to Chris' point, does have to wake up and say, man, I've always said I'm interested in architectural engineering. Am I going to go into a new career at age 29? Am I never going to work again? Am I just going to travel? Like, he's got another hopefully 70 years to live without the one thing that he's always done as his North Star,
so to
speak.
No, and there's for sure going to be a short-term identity crisis when you have been a part of this game for it is just who you are and who your family was, and now all of a sudden you wake up one day.
Yeah, imagine answering that question every day, no matter where he goes. Oh, you want to be architect engineer? Okay, no problem. We have a project. Why you walk away from football?
Right. All right, we got to take a break. Much more on Andrew Luck and what it means for the Colts moving forward. That's next on First Things First. Back here for- First things first, we're going viral. Andrew Luck's sudden retirement sent shockwaves through the sports world Saturday night, so there was a lot of commentary on Twitter. His favorite target, T.Y. Hilton, tweeted, "Every time I think about it, tears start to flow. No one understands you like I do. Our bond is one of a kind. I've decided to dedicate my season to my best friend. Oh. I love you, 12. Hashtag luck to Hilton." J.J. Watt tweeted, "An incredible competitor and a truly great person. I'll miss competing against a guy who always played the game extremely hard with an immense amount of respect. Wishing Andrew nothing but the absolute best moving forward. I know this had to be unbelievably difficult decision." And RG3 tweeted, "Much love to my fellow Texas brothers. Still remember our time together as Heisman finalists and how we laughed about almost being teammates at Stanford. The decision was only yours to make, and I'm glad you have found peace in it. Respect." That's some poignant words there from a lot of...
And those last two guys I find really interesting, because J.J. went through a portion of his career where I'm sure he felt like it was rehab, pain, injury, and back leg injuries, and where it looked like it was derailing his career. And RG3, obviously, has been on a never-ending treadmill of injuries as well. So those two guys can truly empathize in a way a lot of guys maybe can't.
Yeah, especially J.J. Watt, the greatness that he has shown and the lack of being able to get back to that greatness because of explosive injuries that he's had and multiple surgeries, off-season rehabs. J.J. Watt, to me, that really meant something to hear from
him. I don't think people realize how hard it is to get back into it, to overcome the injury mentally, forget physically, but to mentally stick with it.
I think people are always trying to say, "I would do anything to do that."
Right.
So the mental part, they're like, "Oh, I would do anything."
Yeah.
Well, you don't do anything to do your job. So to think that you would be able to appropriate going that extra mile day after day, God typically gets it right. The mentality with the talent, they come together.
I wasn't here Friday because of that hangnail, so I get it. It's tough. Time for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Gillette Clear Gel.
Oh, boy, I can't say
no,
that.
No,
with the regular...
A comparable athlete in Kustar.
The regular season quit. Let's not get into athletes. Quickly approaching, Ezekiel Elliott remains a holdout. Many starting to have serious doubts about whether he'll be there for game one, but Stephen Jones seemingly not among those doubters. He's reportedly optimistic that the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott will reach a deal before then. CC, you think Zeke will be on the field for the Cowboys in their week one matchup against the Giants?
It is nice to hear from Steven and Jerry something positive. It's the first positive news I've heard in a long time since he went to Cabo. So, yes, they got about 8 days, though. They need to get him on the roster before next Tuesday, because with the league changing its getting to the final roster, and he might get a two-week exemption if they decide to use it, which they won't, then you have to cut another player. But it's... The sands of the hourglass are ticking. Next Monday, you got to get it done.
But this is, to me, a real statement and a real positive statement. He didn't say, "Listen, we're operating the same position we've been in. Right now, it's Tony Pollard and company." He ratcheted up his fans' expectations that Zeke could be
there. It means they're talking.
Absolutely right. That it is not still silence from Zeke's camp. So that is a true positive sign.
Moving on to Antonio Brown now. His helmet saga seems to be behind him, that after losing his second helmet grievance with the league office. Mm-hmm. See, will AB finally move on from this helmet issue?
No. If fans, if y'all want to make AB go on a little tirade again, everyone tweet him or go on Instagram and tell him the helmet he's got is ugly. He don't look as cute in his helmet. Because that was one of the reasons why he didn't want to give up the other helmet. So this is just the beginning, Jenna. Man, divas, man, they do diva-type things. This is just the beginning. We'll just chalk it up for the summer. Hard Knocks. He'll have something else ready for the regular season, though.
But speaking of Hard Knocks, his Hard Knocks appearances have not shockingly made Jenna Wolf start to soften her stance on Antonio Brown. She's
not
starting
surprising.
To like Antonio Brown. Those producers knew amazing things.
Sucker!
Listen, the helmet thing's over. He'll probably actually make a little money out of this with an endorsement deal with the new helmet. But, of course, if the helmet was an issue and the feet were an issue, now Chris is talking about maybe he's going to sue the cryogenics company regardless. Mm-hmm. There will be another issue with Antonio Brown. The Raiders just hope it comes with 1,500 yards and 110 catches.
Or just an appearance on the field in a play.
Nothing adds the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at $1 million payday. Draft your single game showdown lineup and feel the sweat. like never before. It's simple. Just draft six players from the season opener. Stay under the salary cap. See how your team stacks up against the competition. But you don't have to wait till week one to get in on the action. Right now, all users can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. Download the DraftKings app now. Get in on the action. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. And as an extra special week one bonus, new users can put in my code FTF to receive a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Don't forget, that's code FTF for your free shot at $1 million. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Back to Andrew Luck now. The 29-year-old star quarterback retired from the NFL on Saturday. From his rookie year in 2012, Luck has been hit more often per game than any other quarterback who's played at least three seasons, leading to a litany of injuries, leading to him walking away. Here's what Colts owner Jim Irsay had to say about Luck's retirement.
This is an unusual situation. I mean, we see Tiger Woods come back and win the Masters. We see, you know, different things, Michael Jordan retire and unretire. I mean, in this case, you know, we just wish him the best, and maybe that he finds some clarity, and maybe, you know, again, he's just going to be 30 years old late next summer.
What do you make of what Jim Mercy had to say, Chris?
It's always a reality. If someone walks away from something and they have age on their side, would they come back? I had played 15 years, was off in the broadcasting career. Dolphins called me. I was like, man, because I had gone to the Dolphins to visit them, free agency. Can you play third receiver? Yeah. It's 45 minutes from my house. Yeah, what the money look like? We'll pay you over $1 million, abbreviated season. Ah, you know something? I'm available. So as a guy that's walking away, yes, he might wake up and be like, you know something? I feel like I would be more surprised if he stayed in retirement.
Really?
Than if he, yes. Man, he's going to feel a lot better after he rests his body for 12 months or so.
Once he's fully healthy, you mean?
Yes, and he's not training, he's not rehabbing. He doesn't know how he's going to feel in 2 years. I know he's going to feel better, and myself and others have struggled with it. He's not going to get anything. I don't care what his degree's in. I don't care if they ask him he want to go to outer space. There's nothing like playing in the NFL. And he will always miss that. And if his body ever gets back to where he feels like he can manage it, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Like, this is, man, you can't, these jobs are so precious. Playing in the league, playing in the NBA, Major League Baseball, it's so precious. There's nothing else like it. There's no other locker room. There's no demographics that he's going to ever go into a meeting room and it be like the NFL locker room. You think in his next life he's going to fall in love with a guy from South Florida like T.Y. Hilton?
No,
he's in the real world. In the real world, there's not as much diversity as what he has seen in the NFL locker room. And there's no other job that can replace it. That's why Jason Witten, that's why he left TV, is playing with the Cowboys. That's why me and others have done the same thing. So, no, I would be more shocked if he stayed retired.
Everything you just said about what the NFL locker room presents is obviously true. Everything you said about his age is obviously true. The money, all of it. And yet, he just retired because he didn't recover from a calf strain the way he had hoped to.
No, it's not that. I don't believe that.
That was the last piece. That is not obviously not all of it. Of course, it was the last 4 years. It was the lacerated kidney and the cracked ribs and the interminable shoulder rehab. And then finally,
the final straw.
Absolutely. I thought that went without saying. But yes, it was a calf strain that then turned into an ankle injury that was couldn't quite get right. And he left. And I don't think the money's going to draw him in. Because as you've talked about, the economics are so different. I mean, he has made $104 million in his career. He's not known as some prolific wild spender. So if it was the money, I think he probably would have, when they offered him the ability to go on the short-term IR this year, okay, well, let me take another 2 months to consider this decision, collect another $22 million, and then maybe I still will retire. And so for most players, I would be with C. But for this player, because this is such a unique situation, and he is making such an unprecedented decision to walk away not only at this age, but at that position, and with that much meat left on the bone of what he was supposed to accomplish, and with the most talented team he's ever been on, all of that, the person that makes that decision, I think, is unlikely to 12 months or 18 months or 24 months from now go back on that decision.
This morning you talked about what his other options were, because I didn't realize it. I was like, well, what is he going to do a month from now? But you actually laid out a couple things that the guy who we, you know, came to know at Stanford, but the guy who also has other interests.
Listen, he just married a woman who's of Czech descent. He's evidently become very interested in that culture. They're expecting a baby. He stayed at Stanford the extra year and got the architectural engineering degree. He started the Andrew Luck Book Club. I don't think he's going to be just a homebody. Now, I agree with Chris. Nothing will replace the juice he got from taking the football field, but he has to know that, and he made the decision to walk away anyway.
Yeah, all of them did. Magic Johnson, he got the tragic news that he was HIV positive. With that tragic news, Magic Johnson tried to come back and play. Mm-hmm. They forced him out of it. Michael Jordan, you think he didn't know when he walked away from the game? What did Michael do? Michael came back to the game. And I know for Barry Sanders, when he walked away from Detroit, if they would have traded him to Oakland, Barry Sanders would still be playing football. So in my lifetime, all the people that I have seen walk away, and I was shocked. Magic Johnson, I remember the day they stopped practice, brought everyone into the players' lounge, and we were watching his press conference, watching and crying, and realizing 24 hours you was getting ready to get HIV tested. The whole world had changed. Michael Jordan. Michael was my guy, man. I was shocked when Michael walked away from the game. And you know something? I was shocked when that dude came back. So all the people that I've seen, either me being close to them, they all have that same thing. The roar of the crowd, and I want to get back out there. I'm willing to take a chance to be able to get back out there. And that, to me, is not foreign to Andrew Luck. Because I don't care nothing about his wife. I don't care nothing about his kids. I know the NFL. I know what it provides for you. I know the self-esteem it provides for you. And you know something? What else Andrew Luck going to be good at? He might be good at being an architect. He won't be great. He won't be one of the greatest throwers. He won't have people saying, you know something? This kid could be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
One of the greatest architects ever.
But yes, Stacey, stop. No.
You found a second career that you happen to be very good at, that you seemingly enjoy a lot.
I was always preparing while I was doing my other thing for this. All right?
And see, got and all this, the juice out of the
This bear. Is nothing yeah. compared to that. I when I go to NFL teams and talk to them, and this is no lie, man, I would go back and do my career all over again if you gave me the chance. You take one of those kids, you take Juju Smith-Schuster, take him from the Pittsburgh Steelers, put me on that team. Oh, yeah, let me run a skinny post, Ben Roethlisberger. I would take my chances with all my accolades and say, I want to chance it again, knowing what I know, to be able to do it again. Andrew Luck, he made a tough decision. But the people who I've seen who have been strong in their convictions, that being Barry, that being MJ, and that being Magic, all of them for some other reason, Barry, they wouldn't trade him. So they held his rights, so he stayed in retirement.
Right.
But the other ones came back and tried to play.
All right, we'll have much more on Andrew Luck and what this means for the Colts. That's next on First Things First.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Back here with Coach Mangini. The Colts have just under 2 weeks now until the start of the regular season. That means they've got just under 2 weeks now to get backup quarterback Jacoby Brissett ready to go as starting quarterback. Here's what the Colts GM had to say about Brissett stepping into that role.
We're not going to ask Jacoby Brissett to be Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was a unique, unique player. But Jacoby Brissett is a winning football player in this league. And he is I think you heard what Andrew said. Jacoby Brissett is a rare, rare leader. He is. He's a rare human being, man. That locker room loves Jacoby Brissett. They love him. I think you saw it last year as we went through the season. This is a special guy, man. I'm excited to watch him play.
All right, Nick, what do you think? Was Chris Ballard just sort of selling us on Jacoby Brissett? Is he really all of those things? What are expectations now for the Colts?
Well, listen, the Colts are devastated. And Jacoby Brissett, while he might be the best backup in football or formerly backup in football, I thought he was. He's obviously not Andrew Luck. But I don't think Chris Ballard's just selling things there. I think the Colts can, and I think they actually still will win the division. I don't think they are a Super Bowl contender anymore, as I thought they were. I thought the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Colts were clearly the three best teams in the AFC going into the season. They are removed themselves from that group. But this is a team that over the final 10 weeks last year had the number one defense in football, had the number one offensive line in football. Those are not because of Andrew Luck. He helps the offensive line. He can help the defense by extending drives, but that's because of the roster they were building. This offseason, they didn't go out and spend a ton of money in free agency, but they did acquire Justin Houston. They had all those second-round picks that they added to the roster. They add Paris Campbell. And I thought Jacoby, the situation he was in when we saw him in 2017, he was acquired on September 2nd. He played in week one. He started week two. That is, he's learning a totally new playbook, learning a new roster. He now has been under Frank Reich as long as Reich's been there. He got the entire offseason essentially as the starter because Luck's been dealing with his calf strain for so long. And that division, to me, is incredibly winnable. The Texans just lost their starting running back, and they still don't have an offensive line. The Titans' offense, which has lost Matt LaFleur this offseason, seems to be a mess. I'm not sure who the best quarterback on that roster is. And then there's the Jags, who, if they can get back to the defense they had a couple years ago with Nick Foles, could be an interesting team. But I like the Colts. I think the Colts can win 9 games, and I don't see anyone else in that division winning 10. So they're not the same team, obviously, but I still think they can, and I still think they will win the AFC South.
Yeah, there are a lot of things to like about the Colts, and defensively, it's one of the main things. And you mentioned the draft picks. There's 7 draft picks on defense this year. So they drafted, hopefully that influx of young talent will continue to build on what they've done. And offensively, one of the reasons you like Jacoby Brissett so much, or you like that quarterback situation so much, is if Andrew Luck got hurt, you did have the chance to go to Jacoby Brissett. And we've seen so many teams who get deep into the playoff hunt, their starter gets hurt, you know, the backup can't do it, and then we've seen the reverse of that with Philadelphia. But now with Jacoby being the starter, it's a radically different equation. And we can look at that first season, and he didn't have much lead time. The numbers have not been impressive for him in terms of whether it's
passer rating.
Take your pick.
Almost any numbers below league average.
It's below league average. Now you're hoping, because of what Chris Ballard says and because of what you hear from other guys, that he does have that leadership. He does have that work ethic, that drive, those things, those intangibles that we talk about all the time that's going to help him continue to grow in the system. As a team, as a whole, as an organization, they're doing so many positive things. This is just such a devastating blow so late in the process. It's going to be interesting to see how they recover.
I love to hear the confirmation with the general manager, Chris Ballard, what he said. And it was a confirmation with my good friend Bill Parcells talked about Jacoby. He's been mentoring him for approximately 5 years. Now, I saw Jacoby in high school because he's from South Florida. went to a big-time high school, Dwyer, was a five-star quarterback there, and they were a two-sport star on their basketball team. So I had heard about his leadership. He signs, go to University of Florida. It doesn't work out there. He goes to NC State. Had been hearing great things about him behind the scenes there in New England before he was traded. So I would expect him to be better than your average quarterback. And the reason why, that offensive line, that wasn't there before when he was playing, and also the wide receiving core. They got Funches to be opposite of T.Y. Hilton. They brought Eric Ebron over, had a Pro Bowl season last year, coming over from Detroit. He's fulfilling his potential as a first-round pick. And they also have Paris Campbell, the second pick from the Buckeyes, second-round pick from the Buckeyes, that'll be playing for them. So he has more tools now than he had before, and with a good defense. So I think that I like them picking them for the division. I was thinking about Jacksonville, but if you think about roster, top to bottom, I like the Colts roster more so than I like anyone else in that division.
Well, I mean, they went from 15-1 odds to win to 30-1.
Oh, I don't think they can win the Super Bowl. Like,
that seems like a big drop off.
Absolutely. So there's different ways to evaluate teams in this league, and there is the barrier for entry of winning a division that doesn't have a great team in it is one level. The barrier of entry of winning three or four playoff games, all of which will be against good teams
yes.
or great teams, is drastically different. So you can be a team that
yeah,
can
that's
be,
why the odds reflect that.
And so you can be a viable contender to win your division or to even maybe win 11 games and still have almost no shot at winning the Super Bowl because of who you have to go through en route to getting there.
Okay, so tell me what Jacoby Brissett has to do to get better. What do you want to see from him? Where is he not a complete starting quarterback in this league?
Well, there's a couple things in the sample sizes from earlier. He's got to get the ball out of his hands quicker, which Indy was doing with since Frank Wright has taken over and Andrew Luck came back. He's also got to be more accurate with the football. And that means, like, when you're getting zone, I want the ball on the right number. Typically, inside zone, the ball is going to be coming my inside so the receiver can react to the defender. Man-to-man, put the ball in front of people so they can get catch and run. And when they blitz you, which they're going to do, man, you got to take the heart out of the defense by taking those big shots down the field and hitting them with a higher percentage. Those three things right there, and it would lead to him being, which I believe is above average NFL quarterback as a starter.
To me, the most important thing is that the level of sacks that he took. And we talked about this with Andrew Luck. When you play a young player, when you play an inexperienced guy, they're going to take sacks at a higher rate than an older guy because they don't really understand the cost-benefit ratio. So now here we are 2 years down the track. What type of decision-making is he going to have when it comes time to that? And the O-line has gotten better. The running game has gotten better. The supporting cast has gotten better. So I'd want to see a significant amount of progress in the amount of times that he's either being hit or being sacked because the next step is much further back.
You mentioned 2017 that he didn't have many things where he was above league average that he was very good at. The one part of his game that statistically, even with the supporting cast, lack of offensive line, was excellent in 2017 was his completion percentage and success rate on deep passes. He had that. Now, T.Y. Hilton probably deserves a lot of credit for that. He's been great at that his whole career, but he was very good at that aspect. Where he was the worst in the league was sack percentage. 10% of his dropbacks ended in a sack. Some of that was the offensive line. But a lot of that was how long he held onto the football. I think Bill Barnwell pointed out he held onto the ball one of the highest rates of any quarterback in the league. So the offensive line will be better. He's got to get the ball out quicker. That deep pass, if that's still there, because Paris Campbell helps with that, obviously T.Y. Hilton is still there as well, I think he can be a middling quarterback. And in that division, there's only one, to me, excellent quarterback. That's Deshaun Watson. And he's going to be running for his life the whole season. Mm-hmm. So if they were in a different division, I'd feel differently. In the AFC South, I think they can still win it.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.